If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, this is Tyron Tracy Jr., and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for a big week 10 edition of the fantasy football preview show here on Roster Watch. So pumped to be here with you. So pumped to go through this main slate. We'll go game by game, talk about our favorite fantasy angles, our favorite DFS angles, and our favorite player prop angles for all of you pick'em people out there. We know that that's getting more and more popular. That's why we've developed at rosterwatch.com for our premium members the new Hyper Picks parlay generator, which takes all of our favorite player props from the rosterwatch.com player prop cheat sheet and puts them into a I'll just show you. It's like if you've used the Hyper DFS generator, it's kind of the same way. So you just pick, looks like we have 12 props put in there so far. So four each from me, Cody, and Trashman. We'll be adding more throughout the course of the weekend. And of course, we start adding these on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So make sure that you're getting in early with this, because oftentimes we get in on some good lines. But let's say you just want to go to Prize Picks or whatever and put in like a three plays to win 10X. What you do is just select three there, click generate, and there you go. It'll give you three plays. These all three, I believe, come from Trash Man.
No. I got to take credit for my fantasy points one with Kyle Pitts right there, man.
Okay, so we'll just give this one out and hope.
Remember the last time Kyle Pitts was playing in Europe? What happened? Right? Remember how long of a stretch he went after that without scoring a touchdown?
So this is Jordan Addison, over 45.5 receiving yards. I actually really like Justin Jefferson this week. We'll talk about that shortly. The Trash Man likes DeMario Douglas to go over 36.5 receiving yards. Of course, no Kayshon Booty this week. We just found out. I'm sure that went into that decision. And Cody has here Kyle Pitts to go over 11 PPR fantasy points. So it's as easy as that. You can keep on generating them. Just, you know, get all your slips filled out nice and easy, just like that, over at rosterwatch.com. All right, Cody, let's just get into these games, man. Let's start out with the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers here. It looks like the Panthers are 5.5-point favorites at home in this one. I'm looking at the rosterwatch.com premium section here, where you can look at the single game odds widgets. Value add of the premium membership of RosterWatch, besides the player props and the parlay generator. It looks like right now, FanDuel has it at, like I said, Carolina -5.5. 66% of the tickets are on Carolina, 78% of the money, 39.5 is the over under in this game. It looks like 54% of the tickets are on the under, along with 71% of the money. If we want to look at the matchups here at the Roster Watch matchup tool, the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints are facing top 12 matchups at both the quarterback and the wide receiver positions, the number 7 matchup for opposing running backs, the number 9 matchup for opposing tight ends. So great matchups across the board here for Carolina. As far as what New Orleans faces in the Panthers, the Panthers have been a tough matchup for opposing wide receivers. There's only, 28 teams on this slate in total, right, Cody? And so it's number 25 as far as for opposing wide receivers, number 20 for opposing quarterbacks, number 17 for opposing running backs, number 13 for opposing tight ends. And just a couple of quick notes here that I have before I kind of get some of your thoughts, Cody. is that so with the injuries, we know that well, it's not an injury, but Rashid Shaheed is now gone. Alvin Kamara has been limited all week. I think he probably plays. I'll be interested to hear what you kind of think on that. But we know that Eric McCoy has been out, and we know that Talisi Fuaga was DNP on Thursday. I have not seen whether he's going to whether he got any practice in on Friday, but I just think it's notable with no McCoy, Fuaga being questionable, and they traded Trevor Penning to was that the Chargers? Chargers, I think, before the trade deadline. It looks like on the other side, Rico Dowdle, he got some veteran rest time this week. Ted McMillan was a late week add, a Friday add to the injury report. And Dave Canales said that, you know, they asked him, you know, are you concerned? And he goes, well, yeah, you know, I'm, yeah, it's a concern. So my general thoughts on the Saints side is that they look like they're tanking. They're, Cody, they were just much slower paced team. It was like I always do the Blitz show with Cardi, and he always talks about how, you know, these games with the Saints, especially at home, they're good because they're in a dome, and with the Rattlesnake, they played so fast, right? They put in Tyler Shuck last week. I think they only got like 39, 40 plays off. They played really, really slow, and so that's certainly a concern as well. Kamara feels like he's on the edge of startability at this point. Devin Neal's biting into him, and they brought in Audric Estime to the practice squad, elevated Estime off the practice squad. I wonder how much you think that he'll play. But you also have Taysom Hill stealing touches. I mean, Kamara's been the running back 33 in expected fantasy points per game since week five, and that's in the same range as guys who you don't feel good starting at all, like Jordan Mason and Tony Pollard. And I don't know. And then with Olave, it's like, do you think that his target share goes up with no Shaheed? I guess you can play him. Juwan Johnson's still on the field a lot. And then, you know, of course, on the Carolina side, Ted McMillan pops up with the hammy on Friday. If no Ted, Cody, can you look at Leggett, Coker? It is a top 12 matchup for opposing wide receivers. And then Rico Dowdle all of a sudden. I was just looking at our rankings. He's become like a running back one must start. Can you believe that he's only behind – JT and James Cook and rushing yards on the season, despite the fact that he was like a backup for the first five games.
Well, that's the thing. I was just like, I mean, we talked about this last week. I feel like we've talked about the Dowdle Chuba thing the last 3 weeks, because obviously Chuba got back into that lineup and we wondered what would the split be. Until last week when, as you said, Canales said, you know, this is going to be a change. You know, he's the hot hand. He's the guy. And he goes out there and he gives you another running back 2 week. So, in week 9, he's running back 2. In week 6, he's running back 2. In week 4, he's running back 1. The 2 weeks in that the last 5 weeks, he hasn't been a top 2 finisher. Were the 2 weeks
he
lost the snaps to Chuba.
Because you're not saying a RB2. You're saying the RB2.
The.
Yeah.
The.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, he's running back 14. No. The running back 1, the running back 2, the running back 2, 28, 32, 33 points. And the only 2 weeks in the last 5 was in week 7 and 8. Obviously, the blowout loss to the Bills at home, and then the Jets game, which was Chuba's first game back. And even in that game, I mean, what, that was such a slog of a game anyway, but Chuba got 14 carries, Dowdle got 17 carries, he had 79 yards, no touchdowns. The big thing in there was just no receiving work there for Dowdle. And now he's getting all the carries, and this is New Orleans at home. Like, this is the spot. I mean, again, first off, my question, my first thought back to you would be, you play more in the DFS streets than I do. I play, but I don't do it. I'm not on the Blitz show. I'm not that. My first question is, like, sirens go off. Why is the Dowdle, like, DraftKings price not been severely? It's 6,300. Like, this is, you're talking about Rashad White territory, DeAndre Swift territory for a guy playing at like a $8,800 conversation. Like, should he not be 85, 86, 8,700 with what we've gotten three of the last 5 weeks? In the 3 weeks, he's been the guy.
Well, if they priced him at that, I mean, no one would play him.
Why wouldn't you? You could still.
You can't play him in the 8Ks. That's like a Christian McCaffrey range. And just
Bijan's
like,
85, Taylor's 95, Christian's 9. You put him at 80, 82. He's still playable.
Yeah, you know, it's just the floor. It's just the. I'm
the touches not. Are there. The offensive line is there.
I mean, maybe he's been on a tear, man. Yeah. Well, the DFS cheat sheets will of course go up at Roster Watch tomorrow. I haven't gone through and run all the DFS algos, but I'll make sure and add a manual trend on there for Cody saying that Rico Dowdle is 2K underpriced.
You look at the rankings, you just go, all right, well, this guy's like, you know, I have him running back 6, Trashman's got him at 7. We're all top 10 on this guy, except for the model. And it's like,
well, the model needs to be taken off.
That's, yeah, part of it with the Chuba side of it. But like, you look at it, you're like, well, this is the pricing is way off here. And, you know, when a guy performs at this level once, you're like, all right. Twice, you're like, And then, you know, it just kind of like, you just like, I don't know, maybe it's the manual thing. Like you said, you got to take it off the model because the model doesn't have the manual understanding.
Well, things it doesn't understand.
Processing.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it doesn't understand that the Chuba factor is what the factor is and the things that the coach has said and how this thing's unfolding and that this guy is on, you know, a career generational like run. Like this is a rare thing that you see a guy just like, at this age, get this opportunity and do what he's doing with it, rush for, you know, hundreds and 120, 150, 200 yards, like nothing. And now you got a top 10 matchup against the Saints who are banged up and a very poor team at that. Like, this is a game that the Carolina Panthers can go in here and just control it, right? You win 30-0 against the Falcons at home. Remember, we thought the Falcons had a chance in that game. We're talking about the Circa Millions picks. Like, the Panthers are 5.5-point favorites this week, and I didn't look at the numbers on Circa. I'm in Vegas right now. I've been kind of busy. I haven't looked at that our text thread about the Circa Millions, and I was
it hasn't been very busy, but that thing's gonna be eight and a half. What?
I was like, that thing's gonna be 8.5. I pull it up, it's 5.5.
It's 5.5. I like Carolina.
I love that.
Yeah.
So okay. I mean, so from that perspective, I like the Panthers. I love Dowdle. I think I got him running back 6. I think I might be a touch low, but it's too tough to build these rankings and be like, well, you know, I got to knock down a guy like James Cook or something like that. You just can't do that. So I love both those situations. You talked about the injuries on the New Orleans offensive line side of the conversation with Fuaga being out. Sheehy being gone.
Is Fuaga out?
He's doubtful with double DMPs. Okay. I'm like, you know, yeah. We've seen it before, but it's an ankle, and it's pretty – I mean, the writing's on the wall for that, it feels like right now. The questionable stuff with Kamara, I feel much better about that, right? He's double limited with a questionable tag than a Fuaga double DMP with a
questionable double fantasy play. I mean,
he's not even a questionable fantasy play. He's like unplayable at this point, it feels like.
I mean, I have him in one league where it was like one of our leagues. It's like a home league type of thing where I'm playing guys like Woody Marks and Gravion and stuff over him this week for sure.
I can't. You can't even rank him in the top 24. It feels like at this current stage, like that's kind of where I'm at with Kamara. I think the interesting thing from this game is just that, like, who fills into these roles, who fills into the Shaheed opportunities, and who fills in if Teteroa is down.
It'll be Brandon Cooks filling in for the Shaheed. No, and like you can't play Brandon Cooks. Then I think for Tet, I mean,
You don't think Vele is going to get an uptick in like targets or anything?
Well, I mean, how much did you want the Saints wide receiver 3 before? I mean, you know what I mean? So I'm not interested at all. And then I just think it's really hard to project whether it would be Coker.
I think it's 100% Coker.
Coker or Leggett. Yeah. Leggett can always hop up and bite you. All right, let's see. Let's get to the next game here. The New York Giants at the Chicago Bears here. The Bears, I'm showing 4.5-point favorites here. 52% of the tickets are on the Bears minus the 4.5, along with exactly 52% of the money. The over-under is sitting at 46.5 with 60% of the tickets on the over in this game, 67% of the money on the over in this one. I think that some of the things that I had noticed here. So as far as the injuries, it looks like both DeAndre Swift and Cole Kmet seem like they're going to be good to go. Rome Odunze was limited on Thursday, but they're acting like he's fine and he's going to play. Kyle Manungai got in a full practice on Thursday for the Giants. I mean, we know that. All right. So Slayton's back. No real issues with, Theo Johnson. He came off the injury report earlier this week. So my main questions are, do we get a Rome bounce back from like last week was terrible. I mean, I told my poor neighbor Mo to play. It was his instinct, but he's like, should I get Rome Odunze out and put in Marvin Harrison Jr. instead? And I was like, man, it's like
you can't do that.
Not like, to, you know, and then of course Rome Donuts and Rome and Marvin, you know, has the eruption. But with Rome, it's like so with some of the models that we do, it just goes back the last 6 weeks. So going back to week or over the last 5 weeks, so going back to week five, Rome is wide receiver 36 and target percentage over that span. But so that's concerning, right? But if you look at it, all the analytics sites that do this stuff about wide receivers versus man coverage and zone coverage and stuff like that, you always see – you see what you think you're going to see, right, with Rome, that he's, like, so much better versus – so what they had it at Fantasy Points data is 0.58 half-point PPR fantasy points per route run versus man versus 0.31 versus zone. And the Giants run man at the second highest rate in the whole league. So I just like, man, if you have Rome, I would get him back in this week. The big questions for me are, okay, people are going to want to play the upstart rookies in this one. They're going to want to play Kyle Manungai because this is the best matchup of the week for opposing running backs. But Swift is back. So how does that Swift look? Colston Loveland goes bananas last week, but now Cole Kmet is back. So like that's going to get more watered down. On the Giants side, the something I thought was interesting, and I'd be interested to hear if you think that this is maybe a Darius Slayton thing, Cody, is that the Bears are allowing the league's second highest completion percentage, 58% on attempts over 20 yards. Is that a Slayton kind of stat? And could we maybe exploit that in props to some degree? And then the other question is, Tyrone Tracy and Devin Singletary was like an even timeshare with no Cam Scadabo or no Cam Scadabo. So I don't know what to make of this. If you can even play Tracy, can you play Singletary? You got to play Jackson Dart, dude. He is 7.8 fantasy points per game just with his legs alone. Isn't that wild? He's a 20 fantasy point game per guy. Or a 20 fantasy point per game guy. What do you think, man? What do you think about a Rome bounce back? What do you make of Swift and Manungai? Can you play Colston Loveland? And then what about these running backs? Anything else that you might have on this game?
I think you buried the lead a little bit with the Singletary Tracy thing in that, like, Singletary and Tracy split the load, but like in week eight, it was a 64% snap share for Chiron Tracy down to the 16% snaps that Singletary got. And then week nine, it was actually Singletary that overtook him. Not only did they like come to even or be close and Tracy still had it, Devin Singletary overtook him in overall snaps, which I think is the biggest kind of glaring thing there in that situation. I love Tracy, but again, my opinion doesn't matter in utilization conversations inside the New York Giants facility. So Tracy's like a flexible, like he's a back in RB3 flex option type of a player. I think Singletary's probably in the same category. It's gross button to press with upside of taking the backfield and scoring 17, 18 fantasy points, but a floor of seven and six and seven. The Adunze thing, I thought you were going to go right into this tweet. You brought up the fantasy points separation against man coverage and stuff. I thought you were going to go with the helicopter corollary, which was James Adunze put a pin on Scott Barrett's tweet. He just put the pin emoji on top of Scott Barrett's tweet that said, wide receiver leaders in separation win rate versus man coverage at fantasy points. Scott Barrett tweets, Rome Adunze, 52.6% win rate versus man coverage, number one. Mike Evans, number two, 50%. James Adunze just put the pin tweet right on top of it.
And I was like, tweeting.
That was on Wednesday morning. I go, helicopter corollary. That's a bounce back right there. So yeah, I like Adunze. I've suffered from the donut last week as well. It's part of the, I don't know. He was a great decoy. They scored 47. This guy didn't do anything, which is just bizarre. To act like you're going to bench him this week because that happened last week, I think is bad process. The Manungai and Dowdle thing.
This is an elite matchup.
I said Manungai and Dowdle, if you didn't catch that, because I wonder what the correlation is here, because Manungai did. I mean, was that like the quietest 150 yard rushing game?
What? It was like 170 something.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But like, nobody said anything. Like you, I feel like.
I don't know. I've certainly heard a lot about it. I mean,
I feel like it hasn't been like an overarching, like this is like like,
yeah, they're not talking about it on Good Morning Football every day.
Instead. Yeah, this guy went for $170. It's like this is like you found this guy in the late half of a draft. Like, this is, we saw the wiggle and the abilities in the preseason and in a couple opportunities early in the year. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, I remember the conversation on the waiver wire show of you and Trashman. You're like, we got to get Monongai up here. And Trashman, we get him up. Now look what he did. And it's like, is there a chance, maybe this is out of pocket because Swift is better than Chuba is, but is he? And you look at this offense, and they score 47 points against the measly Bengals last week. But Monongai is the leader, goes for 170. It's like, do you put the genie back in the bottle, even though Swift is back?
Oh, I mean, I tweeted it out this week. I mean, I think it at least has to go to, like, if you're talking Ben Johnson, it's got to go to, like, at least a Montgomery-Swift thing. Or a Montgomery, not Swift, a Montgomery...
Gibbs
thing. It's like, with Swift, of course, being the Gibbs and Monongai being the Montgomery. And I just think, how could you not, if you get down to like the 2 yard line, how are you not just running Monongai out there whenever you saw how hard he ran last week in those types of situations?
I think he earned it. I think that thing right there, that game last week, even though it's the Bengals and now you get the number one matchup, like, this is, Monongai has season, you know, league winner written all over him.
Okay. I'm not confidently playing him this week though. Are you sure?
I'm playing him ahead of
Travis Etienne's of the world and stuff like that.
I'm playing him ahead of anything the Giants backfield has, Singletary or Tracy. Of course. I'm playing him ahead of Marks, playing him ahead of the Seattle backfield.
Yeah.
Kamara.
Yeah.
Probably.
So basically have him as like a mid to low end.
Kind of a Montgomery.
Yeah.
Probably around Montgomery. So I'm going to move him up a little bit. Montgomery, I got at 22. I'm probably going to move Monongai back to back with Montgomery. I probably have him just ahead of Montgomery.
All right. Let's go on now to the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Houston Texans here. That's the Davis Mills Houston Texans to you, Cody. Looks like the Texans are getting 1.5 points here at home. 41% of the tickets on the Texans, only 33% of the money. So maybe a little bit of a sharp lean here for Jacksonville. The over-under is sitting at a measly little 37.5. Two teams that's like, I don't know what to expect for this game, Cody, but for what it's worth, 70% of the tickets, 67% of the money is on the under of even 37.5. So the injuries, it's what? So Stroud's out. Mills is in. Schultz got into full practice on Thursday. Chubb has been limited this week. It's looking like he'll probably play for Jacksonville. Brian Thomas Jr., I haven't seen it officially yet, but he looks like he's going to be out. We know Travis Hunter's on IR. Dyami Brown, I thought, would be out this week, but it looks like he's going to clear protocol. Jacoby Myers, his first week in Jacksonville. But he did signal this week that the Liam Cohen offensive system is one that it's of a style that he's not really used to playing in. So do you think he plays a lot to start? I think if you have ETN, you could play him. It's not a great matchup, but everybody thought that Bashaul Tutin after the bye was going to get this big bump like some of these rookies get after their bye weeks, but he didn't get it. I think you could keep playing ETN. Parker Washington, I think he could continue to be somewhat viable. Jalen Petre was a DNP on Thursday. I haven't seen if he's practiced yet today, but obviously that guy operates in that area of the field where the slot wide receivers do their running around. On the Houston side, I think you've got to play Nico if you have him, right? Even though it's Davis Mills, it's a good matchup. It's also the second best matchup for opposing tight ends, so it's fine to play Schultz. But, dude, the running back rotation, I don't know, man. It seems like I wish they would let Chubb rest and just let Marks get a full game of run. I'm not sure we're going to get that this week.
I think as good as we just talked about Monongai, I think that Woody Marks has those abilities as well. But like you said, I'm just not sure they're going to do that. I think they just like Chubb too much. Locker room wise, and that's why he's in the locker room. Period. I'll be interested how this thing unfolds. I think you go back to week three; these guys played in Duval, and Jacksonville won 17-10. It was 10-10 with 2 minutes left in that football game, and both these quarterbacks threw the ball 38 and 40 times. Stroud, obviously it's Mills now, but he threw the ball 38 times in that game. Lawrence threw it 40 times. Parker Washington was targeted 11 times. Brenton Strange played in that game as well. He's obviously on IR. Nico had 100 yards and a touchdown. This is going to be a stay away from me in the circuit contest conversation. The Woody Marks dynamic with Chubb is one that I've continued like all year to just kind of probably overrank Woody Marks. And I probably need to come down like behind all the guys that we've talked about, a grip of the guys we've talked about so far. You look at the two most interesting players for me in this game, period, is Parker Washington and Christian Kirk, which is putrid, right? You're like, who cares? But I look at those two things, and Christian Kirk is getting back into the run. He had 70% of the snaps last week, 70% of the routes last week, sorry. He had a 19% target share. He only scored 6 fantasy points, but he's out there getting the work. And I think it's going to be a guy that played for Jacksonville last year and didn't have a good showing the first time around. He only scored 5 fantasy points. He was targeted 23% of the time the last time they played. And then on the Houston side, or on the Jacksonville side, sorry, it's Parker Washington, who had 11 targets the last time they played, and I think has been the biggest beneficiary of just how the season's unfolded for Jacksonville and more opportunities. And Jacoby Myers might come in here and take some reps and take some routes away from Parker Washington, but I think you're going to see a more diverse kind of utilization of a Jacoby Myers. He's going to play in the slot, but he's also going to play outside. And that's going to allow them to use Travis Hunter on the defense, I think, a little bit more. And I think that that was kind of the angle for that addition. I don't know if it's going to be that big of an equator this week. I mean, I'm going to ride with Parker Washington. He's got you back-to-back 10-plus fantasy point weeks. So I like Parker Washington. I think I got him back-end wide receiver 3 this week or top-end 4. Back end 3, 37th overall, 38th overall, something like that. So I like both those guys. They're pukey plays, but I think this game is pukey as well.
Do you think it's weird, kind of pukey, that the Miami Dolphins have they just pinned everything on Chris Greer, and they're probably not going to fire Mike McDaniel?
It seems like McDaniel's going to make it through. It seems like it.
Move through the season, but you don't think he gets fired on Black Friday?
I mean,
it doesn't matter. I'm just curious. All right. So
I agree though. Like I do think he makes it through because I don't think Tua was his guy. I think Tua was out before McDaniel's out.
Let's go to Miami, where the Buffalo Bills are visiting. Miami is getting almost 10 points here at home. 9.5 is the spread on this game. Only 18% of the tickets are on the Dolphins and only 13% of the money. The total here is sitting at 50.5 though. So it's like they're expecting points and they're expecting them to come on the Buffalo Bills side. If you look at the matchups here, Buffalo just gets premium matchups basically across the board, except at wide receiver where it's a little bit middling, which is interesting because it's the top matchup for opposing quarterbacks. I don't know why the matchup tool did that this week. But it's the number 2 matchup for opposing wide receivers, and just Miami has just been an elite matchup for opposing tight ends. So of course you're playing Josh Allen. You know to play James Cook. I was of the impression after watching back that ankle injury from last week that they might sit James Cook in a week like this, but they're not going to. They're saying he's good to go. So of course you're getting him in your lineup. Really like Dalton Kincaid this week. If you have like the Khalil Shakirs of the world, I think it's fine to get them in. I just won't play Keon Coleman at this point, Cody. And then I think with the Dolphins, you know exactly what to do. If you have Devon Achane, you're playing him. If you have Jalen Waddle, you're playing him. Other than that, stay away like it's nuclear waste, I would say. How do you see the action playing out here?
Yeah, I've completely tanked Coleman in the rankings, and that's as a Coleman guy. Shakir seems to be the avenue that Josh Allen wants to go with targets, and I think Kincaid, I talked about this in the top 10 thoughts, I think Kincaid's starting to really take hold of this opportunity and be – is he a 30-year or fourth-year tight end breakup?
He's third.
So, I mean, that's the long-time study. His third year was always kind of the year for tight ends. Yeah, and then this number, I mean, it opened at 5.5. It's up to 9.5. You're about to be a 10-point home
what
dog.
What is it in Circa? It doesn't matter. We can talk about it later.
I know it's 9.5 everywhere. Parks has it at 9. Everywhere else has it at 9.5 right now. So
maybe in the contest, if it's moved that far, though, I'm wondering if with the contest we might be able to get some value. That's the thing, though, is I've heard all the chatter from the like tout Twitter this week saying that Josh Allen always wins versus Miami, but he never covers.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Fair.
So
I was just looking at the date and some of the road games.
I've just seen people tweeting about it. So
yeah, this is November in Miami. Usually the ones you want to stay away from. So he's had games in 2021 in September in Miami. 2022 was September. 2024 was September. And that's September weather versus November weather in Miami is a lot different as far as the heat and the humidity and stuff like that. So I think this is, you just go with the Bills. The Bills, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with that Panther game. The Bills, these are games that they just go in and they just smash and they just lean into you and they just do what they know how to do. And Miami sent Jalen Phillips at the door. They sent somebody else at the door. They got a couple of injuries. Like I think Miami's ready for 2026. So where was I started with that? I started with the Bills side of the conversation. On the Miami Dolphins side of the conversation.
There's not much to say.
It's pretty straightforward. I think it's just Waddle and Achane, right? Like that's
you don't want to mess with anything.
I don't want nothing else.
The Ravens at the Vikings. So the Ravens here, depending on where you look, I'm seeing on FanDuel, the line's 4.5, but on DraftKings, the line's 3.5. So let's just look at toggle here to DraftKings. So with the 3.5, there is 59% of the tickets on the Ravens visiting the Vikings and being 3.5-point favorites. Is that surprising to you, man? 3.5-point.
The Vikings haven't been playing good until this last week against the Lions. So it's like,
well, but they're finally healthy.
Well,
I don't think
Bearsaw popped up with a DNP today with a knee injury.
No, I'm saying that the Ravens.
I think the Ravens have, we've talked about this, but I think the Ravens have the best run out other than the Patriots to go towards the AFC playoffs, and they need it more than anybody. And it's like, if they can get through this game, you know, with Minnesota's continually banged up, some of their best players, Darisaw, like I said, got back in the DNP this week with a knee injury, been dealing with that knee literally since he tore it last year. Jones stays limited. Jalen Redmond's their best defensive lineman right now. He's limited. Like, this team has been limited all year. So 3.5, I probably it's believable. I mean, I think it should be under a field goal, but is a pretty good home. It's a pretty good home field advantage. So yeah, I mean,
a couple of things I was looking at, it's just like this game's got a high total at 49. I've been thinking this week that it's a big game for Minnesota. It's a big game for Baltimore, and I just like what happens in these games, man. It's where the stars come out. So I put in my early prop lines. You know, I got them in early on Zay Flowers and Justin Jefferson overs. And of course, you can go check those out with the player prop cheat sheet at Roster Watch. And just the research I did when I was looking into that was that Minnesota they're allowing a league high 59% completion percentage on attempts over 20 yards. And I love that for Flowers. I think that if he gets, you know, he's going to get peppered with his usual volume, you would think, but you've seen him on these, you know, on these intermediate plus level plays wherever they, you know, they try to get him the football for those really, really big hitters. The league high completion percentage on those attempts is allowed by the Vikings. And then obviously on the Ravens side, you're playing Lamar, you're playing Derrick Henry. I think Andrews is on a heater. If this game does shoot out, you may regret not playing that guy. And then as far as on the Baltimore side, as far as defensively, the reason I just love Justin Jefferson is, for one, he at home, his current prop at like 76.5 receiving yards. I looked at it, Cody, I think he's gone under that once, dating back all last season and then through all through this season at home. You know, so I like it for that reason, but also Baltimore allowing a league high 49.29 EPA on attempts from 10 to 20 yards. Just the perfect Justin Jefferson zone on those slants and stuff to get the ball in his hands and let him go. So I love Jefferson this week. I love Zay Flowers. You know the guys who you're playing. Trashman apparently loves Jordan Addison. TJ Hawkinson has been a disappointment, I would say. JJ McCarthy, I don't know if you have thoughts. He's talking about himself in the third person, saying that he transforms into somebody who he just calls nine. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I always hope that kid stays healthy because I think this team can be good if he is healthy. Jefferson's home road splits, though, in his career, like you said, 11 yards more at home on average throughout his entire career. And he's obviously had a pretty prolific one, cresting over 8,000 last week against the – or was it 2 weeks ago? No. I think Jordan Mason, the interesting thing here I'm going to start it with is Jordan Mason has been unplayable.
That's the other thing. You know, so I should have mentioned as far as the injuries. It looks like Aaron Jones probably is going to play.
Yeah, and it's an AC joint. So I think like he's played with this before. DMP'd Wednesday, limited Thursday. I think he's going to play. And since he's been back, Jordan Mason has been unplayable. I think this is a game that there's potential there for a Mason. Baltimore's been, you know, gettable in the run game. So I think that there's opportunity here for Mason. I don't love it as much as I would even on the other side of the ball with the Justice Hill or Keaton Mitchell, who don't get that a lot of opportunities. But Derrick Henry hasn't been getting an abundance of snaps either. I don't think he's crested over 68% of the snaps all year long on that side of the ball. Both teams, though, can get it in the run. I think that you said the total's high. I think these are both really good football teams. Neither direction would really surprise me with these two football teams. This could be a super low-scoring game, or this could be a 38-35. The last time the Ravens played in Minnesota, I was at that game, and it was a 33-32 finish, I want to say it was. They can score points. That was obviously pre-Lamar Jackson, but Joe Flacco era. Mark Andrews, though, I got him in a league a couple of weeks ago for free in the free agency bin. And he's like last week, even I know it's touchdown chasing maybe because he had two receptions and two touchdowns, but
they just throw to him down there a lot, dude.
It's Lamar Jackson's healthy and the best quarterbacks utilize their tight ends and can utilize their tight ends and will continue to do it. And we know that this connection is, you know, up there with some of the all time greats as far as quarterback tight end connections. So I'm going to continue to push Mark Andrews up here. I probably got him a little bit low. I think I got him at tight end 15 this week. I got to adjust that because I think I like him ahead of guys like Dallas Goedert and even the aforementioned Kyle Pitts from earlier talking about the props and stuff. So Andrew should get that. Likely he's unplayable. I don't think – with Andrews warming up or being on a pseudo heater, I'd say I think he's unplayable. What was the Zay Flowers thing like less than 60?
It was I think we got it at 62.5.
I like that. I like that. The Isaiah Rodgers and Byron Murphy have been exposed at times.
Isaiah Rodgers, but dude, I mean,
he's a dog. But he's like the
old Marcus Peters type, dude. He's just like
Diggs. Trevon Diggs.
Yeah, he just takes a lot. He takes a lot of chances to make all those giant plays, and it can bite him sometimes.
So I think this is an interesting one. I think the shootout side of the conversation is there. For your DFS stacking, this is a game that you can really get nasty on as far as stacking your lineups with everything, whether it's, you know, Andrews, Jefferson. I don't know if I'd quite go into Jones. I think Jones, if he gets a full practice in today, you can have that conversation. Derek Henry, Lamar Jackson, down to Addison. I think Trashman likes Addison maybe this week. So I think this is a great game to stack into, but you also got to understand this could be an old-fashioned black and blue game that we've seen in the past.
If these guys turn back into what they came into the season hoping to be.
And right? they're both coming off of good games, and they could be, you know, shifted teams.
Now, this doesn't have anything to do with the preview, but if you guys are listening and want to hate drop RJ Harvey after last night's game, don't do that, because I just got a notification about how J.K. Dobbins suffered a foot injury on what appeared to be a hip drop tackle. This is from Tom Pelissero. And now they examined it, but now he's having to get a second opinion, which is never very good for that. So don't drop RJ Harvey if you're tilted about the game that he had last night. All right, let's see here. What was the next game we had on the list? Was it okay? Cleveland, Do we have to talk about it? Cleveland Browns and New York Jets. Do you know who don't want to talk about it? Aaron Glenn. He's not saying who the quarterback will be again this week. Because he says he doesn't have to, but it's going to be Fields. It looks like we're going to get Garrett Wilson back. The Browns are expecting they opened up the 21-day window on Cedric Tillman, and they're expecting him back already. So I'm not sure if it matters because you know did you see Tony Grossi? He got tilted. I think it was who is it? Tom the so Stefanski handed over play calling duties over the bye week to Tommy Rees. And Rees is saying this week that they reviewed the first half of the season to identify, you know, what Quentin Johnston does best. And they've tailored the run game to those things. So that's obviously good for not Quentin Johnston, Quinshon Judkins. Obviously good for Quinshon. And then the question that was asked by Tony Grossi at that press conference, I was watching it for that quote. And he got so tilted. He's like, these guys are asking, like, is Dillon Gabriel just too short? Or like, because they're saying, how can he only throw 8 balls to wide receivers in that game last week? All he's doing is throwing it to tight ends. So like, I don't even know if it matters if Tillman comes, but like, they're not throwing it to their wide receivers right now. I don't know if any, certainly Judy and these guys aren't playable. I don't think Tillman's playable. I mean,
even when they target him, it's like, 54 targets, 22 receptions for Judy, 30 targets, 11 receptions for Bond. It's like even when you throw it to him, it's 35% completion percentage.
I think on the – you know, so Harold Fannin was a weird Thursday pop-up on the injury report. I forgot if that was a hamstring or what that was, but then he came back to practice on Friday. So it looks like Harold Fannin's going to play. It doesn't look like he's going to open up just the big volume game for Njoku for us. I would prefer – Fannin to Njoku, I have all season, but I think that probably both of them are in play as long as Dillon Gabriel is there, and of course play not Quentin Johnston, not that QJ, Quinshon Judkins, that QJ, the better QJ. I think you have to play Garrett Wilson if you have him, even though it doesn't really feel great. I was just looking at it, 44.1% first read percentage, which is number 3 over the last 5 games. He's only behind Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jaxon Smith-Njigba in that territory. Now, of course, the volume hasn't been there and the catchable targets haven't been there. And then the other question is Breece going to be playing angry here and trying to get a contract? Or is he going to be mailing it in because he's angry he didn't get traded? It feels like if you're the Jets from their side, they're probably going to say, you know, let's just run this dude into the ground. But Cleveland is the 3rd worst matchup for opposing running backs this week.
I wonder that. I'm going to check the receiving splits here for against Cleveland. Cleveland doesn't. They're pretty good against receiving as well. They've allowed the 6th least receptions to running backs. This is going to be a slog. This might be the longest game of the weekend. Neither team can run the football. Both teams have good run defense, I should say, and neither team can complete a football. No Isaiah Bond.
Do we know if Carson Swesh or if Swesh is going
to double DNP questionable with the ankle?
Well, that would make a big deal for Breece.
Yeah. But no Bond, no Tillman yet. He got 2 full practices. They have to probably
no. They said they're going to activate him
today.
Yeah, Stefanski said it earlier.
Okay, well, that's going to continue to push away my Judy. I like the Judy. I like that Judy. I can't speak today, but I like the Judy under. I put in even more now. He still hasn't been able to crest over 10 fantasy points continually all year. The Garrett Wilson side of the conversation, yes, I think that just based on targets and opportunities, he has to be up there. It's still annoying getting these weeks where he scores 4 or 9 fantasy points, but there's nothing else around him to really merit. What do you have Mason Taylor this week?
What do I have for Mason Taylor?
Where do you have him this week?
Let me pull up the rankings. Definitely not tight end 2 something. No, yeah, I have him at tight end 25.
I wonder if we're low on Mason Taylor.
Why? Just because, like, Reynolds is out and all this? It's just Garrett Wilson and no one else?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's been running north of 80% of the routes now. This could be his, if he does it again this week, it'll be his 5th consecutive week. He's got a 14-point game, a 17-point game in the last 4 weeks. He's also got a one.
PPR, he's averaging like 7 fantasy points a game, man. It's like
– But I'm saying he scored 14 PPR points last week. He was tight end 7. 4 weeks ago, he was tight end 8. He was tight end 11. Like, he's had these top 12 finishes at tight end. And it's like, in this offense, in this type of a game, this could be just a tight end fight. Like, Tillman might be activated, but obviously there's no Sauce Gardner now. That's going to help that. I don't know what rate he's going to run. I think it's going to only benefit David Njoku. You brought up the Fannin hamstring injury. He's probably going to play, but Njoku, Mason Taylor, kind of some sneakier plays here. I got to move up Mason Taylor, though, just based on talking about this. I think the Garrett Wilson thing's sound. And the Breece Hall conversation, it's knowing who Breece Hall is and the type of player he is, he's not going to mail it in. Now, not to name names, but if this was DeAndre Swift, I might have other thoughts, but I trust Breece Hall more in this situation than I do a guy like that. I'm going to stick with Breece Hall.
Let's go to the Patriots and the Bucks, which is the last game of the early window, and then we'll just blast through since we're running behind, Cody. We'll just blast through the three afternoon games, just give like one thought from each or whatever. All right. But the final game of the early window that we haven't talked about. Okay, so it's Patriots at Bucks. The Bucks here are 2.5-point favorites at home. 38% of the tickets on the Bucks, 48% of the money, 48.5 total as far as the over under here. In this one, I think the biggest news here is that Ramondre Stevenson and Kayshon Boutte are out for the Patriots. We know that Bucky Irving is out for the Bucks, which is very disappointing. This has always been the week that everybody had circled to get him back, but it just was not to be. Hopefully next week, but obviously we get Rashad White back for another week of the bell cow work. Of course, you're playing Emeka Egbuka. I'd be interested to hear from you if you can you trust Tez Johnson? He's puny. Doesn't seem to have too much upside really at all here, Cody. But if you look at Tampa Bay, it is the number five. It's the fifth best matchup of the week for opposing wide receivers, and you know that Tez Johnson is not going to draw the super good coverage from like the Christian Gonzalez's of the world and stuff like that, right? So I kind of like Tez, and then with no Kayshon Boutte, Trash Man likes DeMario Douglas. What are you expecting for Travion Henderson this week? Is Terrell Jennings going to snipe any touchdowns from him? Travion last week, I believe it was a 22% target share with no Ramondre in the game. One of these weeks, man, it's going to be Travion week. I'm going to play him again. He didn't kill me last week with like a 12-point game. I would love to get a 30 banger out of him though, man, at some point. And then I would just say that, I think with no Kayshon Boutte, I would personally say that the biggest boost goes to Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Do you not think so?
No, I just was going to play a card on you. I was going to say, well, now that's Kayshon Boutte's out, now I will rank Kayshon Boutte below Stephon Diggs this week. That's a promise. but the thing is, DeMario Douglas, I played them both, obviously, last week with Boutte getting hurt. I'll start with Travion Henderson. Obviously, last week he had his season high in snap share, 75%, ran 70% of the routes out of the backfield, which is also season high dating back to week 5. He ran 53%. Before that, he had never crested 40%. Of course, at the 19% target share. Why I bring that up, obviously, Alex talked about the receiving output and the target share. If you look at the overall defensive stats against running backs this year, the number one team in receptions allowed to running backs is the New England Patriots defense, allowing 55 receptions, 7 more than the next highest, which is the Seattle Seahawks and San Francisco 49ers. Now, conversely, the team that allows the most receiving yards to running backs in the NFL right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They only allow 42 receptions a game, but those are mighty efficient receiving yards that those running backs are getting. They lead 466 yards allowed to running backs out of the backfield, 55 more than the Cowboys, and 67 more than the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've played one less game than both teams. So there's efficiency out of the backfield. If they can utilize Travion Henderson, they can take advantage of that. And at the same time, that's only like 90 yards less than the amount of rushing yards they've allowed, and Tampa Bay's been pretty damn good as far as allowing stopping the rushing side of the conversation. They're number four in defensive rushing yards allowed. Well, New England is the best run defense in the NFL right now. So I think the receiving side is probably where I'm going to target the Trayvon Henderson conversation and Rashad White in Prize Picks. And I think that there is a lot of upside that can be taken there, because I'm not sure everyone's going to be fully in on the Trayvon thing just because of the rushing perspective. But I think the receiving is that we're going to make hay there. And then in the New England wide receiver room, you brought it up, no Butte. So in theory, it should be Diggs. But the DeMario long touchdown last week probably is going to push a lot of the market up there. What's DeMario's price tag this week?
I have no idea.
If
I had to guess, I'd say it's $3,900.
$4,000. Okay. So, I mean, that's sandwiched right between Leggett and Sterling Shepard. And I love DeMario over both of those guys, obviously. Higher than, you know, $100 more than Rashad Bateman. I mean, I guess Coker's going to be a cheaper option down there. But I think Douglas is a guy needs to be looked at as a back end or high end wide receiver three, wide receiver four in fantasy this week, just because this game might not feel like it has like a 31-28 finish to it, but this game 100% is a 31-28 finish to it, despite all of the injuries in the receiver room for both sides and just overall weaponry.
Let's just say one thing we think about each of these last few games. All right, Arizona at Seattle. Seattle -7 at home, 45 over under. When I look at this on the Roster Watch matchup tool, I see it's a bad matchup for quarterbacks for the Cardinals, a bad matchup for running backs, a bad matchup for wide receivers, but somehow a good matchup for opposing tight ends. And I think that Jacoby Brissett at some point turns back into a pumpkin. He usually does. I think this is the week that it happens, having to go to Seattle and play against a really good defense here. I'm not going to trust. If I got Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm probably going to have to play him because maybe he's my wide receiver two or something like that. But I'm not expecting what I saw last week. I'm not expecting it from Jacoby Brissett. This is not the Dallas Cowboys. So Trey McBride is my really only trustable asset. I don't even know what to do with this. Imari DeMarcado, is he the best option as far as running backs in this whole deal? Like, I really don't know at this point. Hard to trust any of those guys except for Trey McBride, as far as I'm concerned.
I think the best back is Zonovan Knight. We had questions on YouTube about it. Why haven't you guys talked about Trey Benson? I think if you can go get Trey Benson, people have said he's free. Go get him, I would say. Just look at this back for the
team. He isn't going to come back this week, though.
No, I know, but I'm saying like for down the line, like it's putrid. Go do that.
Maybe people will listen to this on Saturday when it comes out on pod. And he will have been activated, and they'll say, Alex doesn't know what he's talking about. But I don't think he's getting activated.
The latest reports are that he missed practice on Wednesday and Thursday, so he's probably not going to. What I'm saying is go out and get him for the, you know, week 11, 12, 13, whichever week he comes back, he can really
– These other guys have not showed as much.
Yeah.
These guys have not shown anything to make me think that the team would play them over Trey Benson.
The last note I'll say is Sam Darnold. I did this 2 weeks ago. I played Darnold over Bo Nix last week. He's been a top 10 option three of the last 4 weeks. He seems to be just cooking right now and in his flow state. So you got to trust it.
The Rams at the 49ers here. It looks like the line here is the Rams -4.5. So the 49ers getting 4.5. Over-under sitting at 49.5. Do you know what my favorite prop in this game is? Relatively tight total, relatively close. Why not just take Eddie Pinheiro?
Oh gosh.
As far as the kicking points. It's sitting right now over on Prize Picks at 6.5. Whenever these things are at 6.5 and you get a total above 47.5 or something like that, it's like those things feel really, really good to hit. Pinheiro's done it 4 of his last 5 games. That's my angle here in this one.
You win. You win. This is a Niner Ram game. There's really no side that you can really fade off of in fantasy. So I would just say, you know who to play. If you got the guys, play them. If they're healthy, play them. If you need them, play them outside of Blake Corum.
And finally here, the Detroit Lions at the Washington Commanders here. The Lions are 7.5-point favorites playing against the Commanders. The Marcus Mariota and Terry McLaurin-less, we think. I'm pretty sure that I'm not sure he's officially been announced out, but he's not going to play. Or at least it would be a giant surprise if he did. 86% of the tickets on Detroit here, 83% of the money. Everybody and their mother is on Detroit. Everybody's on the over. What, 75% of the tickets, 86% of the money. So they think this is just going to be a track meet where just Detroit gets all the run in the world here. And if you just, man, I'm benching Jamison Williams in one league, and I'm wondering if I should now that I look more at this, at the matchup tool and stuff. This is the number two matchup for opposing wide receivers here. So Amon Ross should go big. I think if you have, you know who to play, right? Like, I think the more interesting thing is on the Washington side, what do you think of this? Jalen Lane, I saw his receiving yards over under sitting like 20.5. Do you think that he gets the bump with Luke McCaffrey being out for the season now?
That's second team corollary too with Mariota.
I think 19.5 yards for Jalen Lane. I mean, he did have a fumble last week, and people complain about how he doesn't know the routes and all this stuff, but that's a talented guy, man. 19.5 yards offense with no McLaurin, no McCaffrey. It's going to be Debo Samuel, Chris Moore, and Jalen Lane. I think
he had he was the ape index winner from the pre-draft process at the wide receiver position at like 5'8". Had 6'3" or 6'4" wingspan. Jalen Lane coming out of Virginia Tech. There's opportunity there. He's ran the routes. He hasn't quite crested that 10 fantasy point season.
And what do people do about Bill, Cody? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that too. But I want you to finish about Jalen Lane. But I knew I would forget if I didn't ask you about Bill. That guy's at least he was playable to start the year, man. That guy has been unplayable lately.
Yeah, but I don't think it's his fault. That's the problem. I think this you just got to be – I mean, Washington has been disappointing this year. We'll just put it that way. But Jalen had a 25% target share last week. Like I said, ran 66% of the routes. He hasn't quite had that 10 fantasy point game. I liked him. He was down there at the – I think it was at the Senior Bowl, not the Shrine, this past year. Like I said, led the whole 2025 NFL draft in ape index, like a 7+ or a plus 7, I should say. As far as that goes. And if you just look at the guys on this wide receiver room past the guys that have been banged up, it's Lane's got the ability, and they need to see what Lane is as well as you move forward. And guys like Robbie Chosen aren't going to be in the roster, and Noah Brown and things of this nature. So no better time than now. I don't think McLaurin's going to be back this week. And like you said, it profiles as a track meet, but this thing's in Washington. I think there's going to be some people in the building, and I don't think the Commanders are going to roll over. And I think he kind of just, I trust Mariota, man. And you know what? You bring up Bill, and Bill maybe hasn't done a lot, but you know what happens every time the Bills are due? The Bills get paid. And if there's one person that's going to pay the Bills, it's Bill. Kroski Merritt.
Showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture. Luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.